turn in your Bibles tonight to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Wednesday nights I try to give you something that's encouraging, and I think this will be, but it's also going to be doctrinal. It'll be instructional for you tonight as well, and it's needful that we are instructed in this particular doctrine. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the whole passage begins with verse 13, but we will begin reading in verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What is that passage talking about? Talking about the rapture. It's talking about the rapture. And tonight what we'd like to address is the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And one of the reasons that we'd like to discuss that is that the closer we get to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you are beginning to hear about a post-tribulation rapture. You're beginning to hear more and more about the church going through the rapture. We'd like to talk about that tonight. Before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to teach us. Father, we're thankful tonight to be able to bow before You and pray. I'm thankful tonight that after prayer together, You've given us instruction and some direction and wisdom about how to give cheerfully to these that have needs on the mission field. We thank You for that, Father. Tonight, Father, we ask You please to open our eyes, open our minds, open our hearts to Your understanding. May Your Holy Spirit teach us. He is the teacher. Father, I know it's just the presence of a man, the voice of a man that's here. There's some notes that were typed by a man. But Father, we're talking about Your Word, and we're asking You please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that You will guide us in this study so that we can understand what we're looking at, and then we pray You'll guide us through it so that we can remember what we've seen. That it'll be a good defense for us and also a great encouragement to us. For we ask You to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You know, I think many years ago when people talked about the rapture, it was just a given that it was going to happen before the tribulation. And then some scholars who went into the Greek and came up with some other ideas started talking about, well, maybe the church is going to go through the tribulation. Maybe there's not going to be a tribulation at all. I think ultimately they ended up with about five different views. One view being the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Another view being the mid-tribulation rapture of the church. Another one being pre-wrath rapture of the church, which is late in the tribulation. Another is the post-tribulation rapture of the church, meaning the church goes all the way through the tribulation. And another one is just no tribulation. I mean, no rapture at all. You know, one of those views is right and four of them are wrong. And so he said, well, how will you know? Well, wait till it happens and then you'll be absolutely sure, right? But I believe also that there are some ways that you can know by studying the Scripture, at least that certain views that men have are not right, which would indicate then that a certain view is right. Now, tonight we're going to look at this doctrine. And let me just say from the beginning, we are going to study, listen, some of the verses pertaining to the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. It's to exhaust this topic, we'd have to be in something even maybe longer than the men's Bible study, which is a two-hour study with about a 10-minute break and a little time for testing and other stuff, but you know, a full hour and a half worth of teaching there. We're going to condense this down and just deal with some major things. I believe, I think I can say safely for this church, we believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church because of several things. First of all, we believe that because 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, and these two verses of the three that we read, are really different than Matthew chapter 24, and verse 31. Oftentimes what happens when people say, no, the church is going to go through the tribulation, they'll take Matthew 24, 31, and they'll take 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, jam it all together and say that's all happening at the same time. Let me show you what the problem is. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Keep your finger where you are because you're going to come right back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 again. Back and forth, back and forth. We'll compare Scripture with Scripture. So don't close yourself out on that because we'll be going back and forth. Matthew chapter 24. And notice some things about the chapter, and then we're going to look right down here at verse 31 where the dilemma is. All right. In Matthew chapter 24, notice verse 14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall come the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field turn back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation. You see it? Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Now, the abomination of desolation is spoken of by Daniel the prophet. You can go back there and actually read that in the prophecy in Daniel chapter 9 of the Daniel's prophecy of 70 weeks. And the 70th week is yet to be fulfilled, which is the tribulation. And so this abomination of desolation gets raised up in the middle of that. You'll actually see this abomination in Revelation 13 when the false prophet makes an image of the beast and makes everybody worship that image. And the 2 Thessalonians tells us that the Antichrist goes and actually sits in the temple and is worshiped as God. And you're killed if you don't worship him. Okay? So all that's going on at this time. But just notice for context purpose, he says, then shall be great tribulation in verse 21, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. That's why we call it the tribulation from that verse right there. So if you keep on coming down, then notice in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's His second coming. That's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that you're reading about right there, after the tribulation of those days. Now notice verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, learn a parable of the fig tree, and he goes on to the parable of the fig tree. So what happens with a lot of people today is they say, well, there you see, the tribulation is done. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back in verse 30 in the clouds of heaven, and there's the sound of this trumpet, and this elect is gathered from the four winds. That's the rapture. So therefore, the rapture happens after the tribulation, and the church goes through the tribulation. That's how they come up with a late or post-tribulation rapture. Do you understand? Do you see that? But what we need to do is we need to compare Scripture with Scripture, and notice that's what's going on in Matthew chapter 24, verse 31 is not what's taking place in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There are a number of differences. First of all, notice in Matthew chapter 24, verse 31, who comes to get the elect? Verse 31. He shall send his angels. So his angels are the ones that come to gather this elect. You see it? All right, keep your finger where you are. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and notice in verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The operative people involved in these two texts are different. Certainly we see the Lord coming in the clouds in Matthew 24:30, but he sends his angels to gather the elect. The Lord makes it plainly clear in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 that he himself, the Lord himself, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. Okay? See that all clearly? All right, the second thing to notice is that in Matthew 24:31, he comes to gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. See that? Doesn't say anything about any dead being raised. You notice that? Also notice that something very peculiar is taking place in Matthew 24. Let's just look at a couple of things real quick. In Matthew 24, in verse 15, where is the abomination of desolation standing? In the temple, in the holy place. Where are the people that are fleeing from in 16? Let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. That's one of the regions of Israel. When they are running, they are not to have their flight, in verse 20, on the what day? Sabbath day. That's a Jewish day. And then he's talking about the elect. Israel is mine elect in Isaiah 42. So there's a peculiarly Jewish element to Matthew 24. Would you not agree? All right, so when he comes to gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other, do you realize that there's a particularly Jewish context here? If you can put a piece of paper where you are, we got to go look at some Old Testament verses real quick so you can see this, a few examples of this. Where I am, I'm not taking notes, so I've got my right hand in Matthew 24 and 1 Thessalonians 4. I'm going to use my left hand to go to the other places. But turn with me, first of all, to Deuteronomy 30. And in Deuteronomy 30, look at verses 1 through 4 and notice a prophecy. And this is not the only place you find the prophecy. This is just one of several. But let's look at it here because it's clearly stated. Deuteronomy 30:1. We're going to go all the way down to verse 4. It shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. He drove them out. And shall return unto the Lord thy God and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart, with all thy soul, then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out into the outmost part of, what's the next word? Heaven. From thence will the Lord thy God, what's the next word? Gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. Verse 5, the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land. You know what these angels are doing? They are gathering together his elect from the four winds, north, east, south, and west, scattered all over the earth, and from one end of heaven to the other. And he says, even if I've got you in the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will I gather thee. Something very particular to Israel. Look again in Isaiah 27:13. As I said, there are a number of references on this. Isaiah 27, look at verse 13. He's going to sound a trumpet when he does this. Isaiah chapter 27, verse 13. You can look at verse 12 for the context. It shall come to pass in that day. When Isaiah refers to that day, he's referring to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel, and it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown. Is that what's happening in Matthew 24:31? It is. And they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. So he's sounding a trumpet to gather together his elect. Have you ever read the book of Numbers? How'd you find that book? That's rough on a Gentile man. Phew, there were so many of the tribe of Reuben, and there were so many of the tribe of Simeon, and there were so many of the tribe of Gad, and there were so many of the tribe of Judah. And then, you know, it gets to the end of that and wants to number them all again. Do you remember in Numbers chapter 10 anything being said about some silver trumpets being made? Y'all are looking at me like clueless. You slept through that class, didn't you? Just turn to Numbers chapter 10 real quick and notice that there were some silver trumpets that were made in Numbers chapter 10. And they were for a reason. Numbers chapter 10, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. Verse 7, and when the congregation is to be, what's the next word? Gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. You know what those angels are doing? They're blowing a trumpet to gather together the elect who have been scattered worldwide during the tribulation and calling them back where they're supposed to be, after the tribulation, at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Matthew chapter 24, verse 31 is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to a different place. These guys end up going into the land. We end up going somewhere else. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, notice where what happens. The Lord himself, verse 16, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Nothing is said about that in Matthew 24. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Nothing in Matthew 24 or 31 about them being caught up together in the clouds. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So there are clouds back there in Matthew 24, but they're not being caught up together into those clouds. You know where they're going? They're going into the land. Again, I have a number of references to this. Let me show you one or two, and I'll post the rest of them when you see this lesson on the internet if you want to get the other references. I'm only have four, but I don't want you turning pages all night. Isaiah chapter 11, notice where they're being gathered. We could start in verse 10. Verse 12 is where we want to go, but let's look at verse 11. Isaiah 11, 11 and 12. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left in from Assyria, and from Egypt, from Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So that's where you're gathering them together. And they've been scattered all over the place. And then what he's going to do is he's going to bring them into the land. Look in Ezekiel. You just got that one. Just wrote the note. Just had time to read it. And already I'm telling you to leave and go to another place. Wouldn't you know it? Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel chapter 11. And look at verse 17. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 17. Again, you can read the whole context. We're just looking at these things that particularly pertain to our study tonight. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 17. The Bible says, "Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel." So that's what's going on in Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. Now, Matthew chapter 24, verse 31, you know, it doesn't appear to be a rapture. There is a tribulation rapture, but Matthew chapter 24, verse 31 doesn't appear to be it. He looks like he's gathering them all back. You say, well, I thought all the Jews were back in Israel. You been in New York and Miami lately? Chicago? They're scattered still all over the world. And will be until finally, I mean, Jerusalem is really not a safe place for a Jew right now anyway. And when the Antichrist comes, it's really not going to be a good place. The Lord has some of them scattered there for punishment, some scattered for protection. All right, so that's the first thing. The rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17 is different than the gathering together of Matthew chapter 24, verse 31, which people who say the church is going to go through the tribulation typically put together. They're not the same thing. Here's the second thing. There is a tribulation rapture, but notice the difference. Revelation 5 and Revelation 7. The people in Revelation 5 are not the people in Revelation 7, and yet both of them have been raptured to heaven. The first group is the church. Before the opening of the seals in Revelation chapter 6, the second group is the tribulation saints. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. In Revelation chapter 5, look at verse 8. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. That's you and me, what we're getting ready to do here on Wednesday night prayer meeting. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Now these guys are up there, that's us, in heaven, around that throne, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Boy, there's a bunch of folks up there. Do you see it? And they are there before Revelation 6 when the seals begin to open in the tribulation. You see it? Now look in Revelation chapter 7. So, okay, now understand something. John has seen this. He's seen it well enough to know that there are 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. He's seen the people and he's heard what we are saying. The strange thing is, John was transported forward in time by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he saw you and me up there doing this. That is phenomenal. He's already seen it. Then you get to Revelation chapter 7. And now the 144,000 have been sealed in the first part of Revelation 7 all the way down to verse 8. 144,000 are sealed. Then in verse 9, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne of the Lamb." All the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, might be under our God forever and ever. Amen. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Well, he's already seen us in Revelation chapter 5, and he's asking him, who are these guys? And John wisely answers in verse 14, I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, Watch it. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and so forth. Different group of people. He didn't even know who they were. The angel had to tell him, Revelation chapter 5, before the seals open, Revelation chapter 6, the church age saints. Revelation chapter 7, after the sealing of the 144,000, another group from every kindred, tongue, nation, and people. They're up there around the throne, but they were the ones that came out of great tribulation. Two different groups. The church is not the one that goes through the tribulation. These saints are. See it? And then finally, this. I'll give you three things. First of all, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and Matthew 24 are not the same thing. Secondly, you got two completely different groups of people. John didn't recognize the second group that came out of tribulation because the other group had already been there. And then finally this, salvation in the church age is without the law, whereas salvation in the tribulation is with the law. And there's a change. There's a change. They can't be the same. You're not going to suddenly impose the law on the church when the law hasn't been affecting the church for 2,000 years. A couple of references real quick. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Got it? Law does not save us. It does not justify us in the church age. Now let me ask you something. When we were back there in Matthew chapter 24, I picked up from the abomination of desolation and started reading down through there and said some folks in Judea had to flee into the mountains, couldn't turn back to get anything out of the house. And he said, pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. What difference would that make? Well, it makes a tremendous amount of difference to a Jew in the tribulation because now the law is back in effect. Turn with me, you're in Galatians, turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 2. And notice something. We'll pick it up in verse 13. And notice why the ordinances don't have any effect on us as far as our salvation is concerned. And we're going to read down to verse 17, which is going to be very instructive for us. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. I know we're in the middle of the context of the spiritual circumcision here, but it's a good context, nevertheless. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. Don't you thank God for that? Boy, I do. Watch it. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That's what he did with the ordinances of the law. Verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, that is, in his crucifixion. Verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat, Old Testament, or in drink, that's the law, or in respect of an holy day, that's the law, or of the new moon, that's the law, or of, watch it, the Sabbath days. Nobody's to judge you of the Sabbath days. Verse 17, which are a shadow of things in the past. Is that what it said? No. It said, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. So what happens is when the body of Christ is raptured out of the church, out of the earth in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, then the law comes back in, that the shadow of things to come. And now they have to be concerned about the Sabbath days, and that's why he said you better pray that your flight's not on the Sabbath day. Because you won't be able to violate that Sabbath day without violating that law. Look with me in the book of Revelation, chapter 14. And there's actually two references to this in the book of Revelation. We'll look at one. I don't want to go into too much depth with you tonight, being Wednesday night, but do want to give you enough to be able to get your bearings right. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. We're deep in the middle of the tribulation here. Revelation 14, 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they, number one, that keep the commandments of God, and number two, the faith of Jesus. That's how they're saved. The commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. That's not church age salvation. That's something that's additional that goes on during the tribulation. And you know the church is not there because God would not impose that on the church. Revelation 12:17 says the same thing. The dragon was wroth with the woman, that's Israel, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. We've already read about that remnant tonight. Which, number one, keep the commandments of God. Number two, have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's why James chapter 2 says, how that by works they are justified and not by faith only. It's tribulation stuff. And so these three things are just some of the reasons why we don't see the church going through the tribulation. And I show you these things because there are people that will try to come to you sometime. They'll say, oh yeah, we believe that. And they'll flip through here and through there. And you're like, whoa, man, I don't know where I stand. Now you've seen some of the verses and compared them so it will make a little bit more sense to you and hopefully should be a help to you as well. The rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is not the same thing as the gathering together in Matthew 24. The people in heaven in Revelation 5 are not the same as the people in Revelation 7. And salvation in the church age, no man's justified by keeping the law, and yet in the tribulation they have to be concerned about the law. It's part of their salvation. So, what do we say about that? We say this. Number one, we're not in the tribulation yet. Praise the Lord. And number two, Jesus Christ can come anytime He wants to. There is nothing holding back the Lord Jesus Christ from returning to this earth. He could come tonight, and I tell you what, if He did, I'd be perfectly happy. I'm ready to go. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So let me just encourage you tonight with this study, not only to look at it doctrinally, but look at it this way. There are things that weigh heavy on your mind. There are things that weigh heavy on your heart in the earth. The world is designed that way to take the wind out of the sails of a Christian and to discourage you. Don't be discouraged. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus Christ is on His way. He already knows when He's planning on coming. I don't have a clue in the world what date that may be, and if I had a clue, I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't say it. I tell you what, I'm just ready for Him to be here. I really am. And don't you worry about having to give halfway through or two-thirds of the way through or three-quarters of the way through or all the way through the tribulation in order to finally get to see Jesus. He'll come when He wants to see you, and He's not bound by anything at this point other than His own timetable. And I'm thankful for that. Amen? Amen. Father, thank You so much for an opportunity to study Your words tonight. And I do pray that we're all encouraged by these matters and also well instructed. Well instructed in the words of God, not to be tripped up advertently or inadvertently by somebody who wants to see the church go through the tribulation. Don't have any desire for that. Father, just want to see Jesus Christ. We're really, really happy to know that you'll be coming. And I believe coming soon. As John said, even so, come Lord Jesus. We sure look forward to seeing you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.